I want to tell you about a new podcast called Amuse News. Publishing multiple days a week, Amuse News is your source for food news, interviews from around the food world, and more. On the show, we'll be engaging with food storytellers, from chefs to advocates to people working in the field, and many more. Find Amuse News wherever you get your podcasts. Amuse News is a destination for everyone who's looking for a new, insightful look into the world of food.
Today's program is brought to you by the Academy Opus Cassius, the cheese industry's unique center for professional development. For more information and to apply for courses, visit our website at www.academymons.com. That's academiemons.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
The Canary Islands is an autonomous community off Spain, off the coast of Morocco. Some may think of the islands as being the remnants of Plato's lost continent of Atlantis. Others think of the Canary Islands as a, quote, continent in miniature, end quote, for the diverse landscapes across Gran Canaria, from arid and dry to lush and well-vegetated. What many people don't necessarily think about when they think about the Canary Islands is cheese. And for that, I'm very excited to introduce Rafael Chacon to the show of Chacon y Hijo, who is with us live from the Canary Islands. How are you doing, Rafael?
I'm doing great. Nice to hear you. Yeah. Hello from Tenerife, from the Canary Islands. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Thank you so much for coming on the show and taking some time for us.
It's a pleasure.
This is Cutting the Curd on the Heritage Radio Network, and I'm your host, Greg Blaze. I'd like to start by asking you about your company, Rafael. What is Chacon y Hijo all about?
Well, we are wholesalers of food, mainly food. And the company started like 35 years ago with my father, but it was actually my grandfather who was a retail. And as soon as the Merca Tenerife, which is a main spot of food for the whole province, opened its doors, my grandfather told my father, why not to go there and get independent from him and start his own company. But now, instead of as a retailer, as a wholesaler. So that's how everything, let's say, started. And we are specialized in cheese from the Canary Islands. Right. And though we sell other products like charcuterie, like Iberian ham or chorizo,
sure,
things like that. Yeah.
So you bring things in from Spain and then sell them locally as well. Is that good?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Exactly. But basically, our main clients, all of them are in the island, in Tenerife.
Yeah.
And so we sell to bars, to restaurants, supermarkets. But Merca Tenerife is also open for everybody who wants to buy. But instead of getting, I don't know, let's say, a piece of cheese, they need to get the whole wheel.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, of course. Got to make that sense. What inspired you to start exporting your cheese in particular? Was your grandfather's store also a cheese shop?
We started to exporting to mainland, to Madrid. Uh-huh. And our idea is to export abroad. So we decided to give it a shot in Europe. Straight away we decided to go to New York for the fancy food show.
Nice.
And we, to be honest, we don't have like We have a lot of illusion in this project, and so we decided not to give us not to set limits for ourselves.
Why would you?
We're open to export to everywhere.
Yeah, man. Anybody that wants to buy your stuff, you want to sell it to them. What were the biggest challenges? Well, I mean, so how many cheeses do you export? How many? What's your portfolio of cheese? And what kind of cheese do you sell?
Sorry, would you mind to repeat the question? I don't know, but sometimes I hear you, like, if you are... You are very far away. But
oh, I am.
It seems to be even farther.
I am super far away. So, what was like the biggest challenge that you faced in order to open up?
Yeah.
In order to open up your business or to start exporting cheese abroad.
Because we are a small archipelago here in the northwest coast of Africa. We belong to Spain, but still the biggest problem is to find a transport company. Because to receive whatever you need from mainland Europe or anywhere else, you can get it. No problem at all. But if you need to send something
like back to you,
when we are talking about selling, right? About exporting, you need to send. If it's refrigerated, you need to send a full container.
Yep.
That's the biggest problem.
Sure.
Nobody starts with a client saying the client, "Well, I want to buy a full container." Nobody does that.
Not even my people want to buy a full container. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was actually during quite a while I was looking for a transport company, and it was really complicated to find one. After 4 or 5 months, imagine basically half year, every day with the aim of to find transport company. I gave up. I went to bed. I was totally devastated because the transport costs were like around 7 euros a kilogram, which is insane.
That's astronomical.
It was by plane. There was no way to send it by ship. So we were like I was devastated. And while I was on the bed, I don't know, but I just tried to give it one more try. I went on the internet. I found a telephone number. I called some different numbers, and the day after I had an appointment with a transport company who is totally committed with our project and has decided not to earn a lot of money at the beginning.
They wanted to help you out
with us. But because they really trust in our project, they trust in my father's company. Imagine I was overwhelmed because from having nothing and understanding why nobody has ever been successful exporting canary cheeses.
Sure.
Yeah, I decided to give it a try, and I found a very amazing transport company who is making our life.
That's awesome.
Way easier. That was definitely.
Well, that's the number one thing. Thank you so much for sharing that with me. Your difficulty in getting products out is something that I understand. And here in America, I'm falling over myself. There's so much distribution here, you know, and still I run into the same problem. Just to get products driven to me, not because anybody is too expensive or trying to be, but just there are costs. And for you, I imagine, those transportation companies have fuel costs, and then they have all the fees of import and export that they have to pay to pick up the goods that you sell them, and all of the attendant fees, and just every vendor, every producer that you deal with, you, I'm sure, have to have documentation from, and small producers, they don't like to write everything down, you know? So, I mean, there's just a myriad of problems.
Yeah.
But it must have been really fulfilling for you to work with the producers that were local and take their products to other parts of the world. That must have made you feel really good, right?
Yeah, no, you're right in everything you say. And actually, the producers, at the beginning, they were a little bit surprised about our project. They were very, oh, yeah, that's a very good idea and everything. But reality is that every time we deliver some samples, for a festival or to go to, or just to send it to a potential client. And at the end, at least my father and I, we always say, like, the transport costs were, like, let's say, 300 euros, 500 euros, whatever.
Sure. Yeah?
But at the end, we don't give them we don't pass them over the bill of the transport costs. Because, as you said, they're small producers, and the project is somehow, it's our project, And
absolutely.
It will be time for everybody to get things done. And if you start asking for the money for the transport costs, for this, for that, it will come a moment that they will say, no, I'm very happy you're selling the cheese here. You don't need to worry anymore about exportations. You know what I mean?
I do. So, that happens with me all the time. That's, it just because you don't – those people make such a small amount of money off of the goods that they produce. So,
yeah, and it's such a hard job. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
And they start very early in the morning. The goats, they don't understand about euros or anything.
No, they don't.
I mean, they need to. So it's a very hard. If you don't value their job, if you don't give them the value they have, my father would have never keep the company for 35 years. You know what I mean? Like,
so I do.
In that way, we are totally we are like a team somehow.
I've been
very surprised. Look, I am an engineer. I have three engineer careers. I have a master in fire safety protection and blah 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 blah.
Oh.
And since I was very little, I always wanted to work with my father.
Sure.
And now, because of the crisis, I have the chance to work with him. And I'm overwhelmed about everything I'm learning from him. All about how, like, the respect people show, like the people I'm showing to him, how much the producers respect my father's ideas. And I think this project really, really, really brings the best of at least two different generations.
Sure. And maybe even three.
A third one coming.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, what your new job, as an engineer, you were very adherent to processes, and people help to manage the processes. But what you're involved in now is a business of relationships and trust, and that's a whole nother thing. You know what I mean? That's a whole nother world there.
Yeah.
To get those people who put in all those long hours. Working with the land and working with their animals to make the wonderful things that they make, to trust you to take their goods, pay them for their goods at a delayed period of time, and then send their goods out, hoping that they get there in the same shape that they know that they can sell them locally. There's a lot of trust involved in that, and those ancient relationships, those are your real currency. Those are the real things that you trade in. It's much less about the money for those people and for you.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. We wake up at 3 a.m. every day to go to work.
Yeah.
Because our shop opens at night. And it's a hard work, but when you have the chance to go abroad, give to the people the chance to try your products.
Yeah,
and you see their faces like, wow, this is a fantastic cheese, or this is a fantastic, I don't know, for example, the Almogrote, the fancy food show. I decided to go to the Cheesemonger Invitational.
Sure.
And
that's a good party.
Yeah, and I had my rucksack was full of different cheeses.
Sure.
And I was thank you of Susan Sturman, Veronica Vaiti. I decided to go to New York for the fans of the show, and I was really pleased to see the people eating like my the samples I brought there.
Sure.
So I was like, they have cheeses there, and I said, yeah, my roster is full of cheeses. So I started just cutting, and a lot of people were trying them. And everything I heard was fantastic. It was unbelievable, like perfect. Actually, it was this guy from a distribution company, and he tried the Almogrote, which is it was a product that people like the most.
Yeah.
Basically, it's made out of a very old goat cheese, around 2 years old. It's Majorero or Palmero cheese.
Uh-huh.
It got a garlic, red, pimentón rojo.
Yeah.
And olive oil.
That sounds tasty.
And you just dip it with a I think you call them crunches or like the
it's all right.
The bread. Yeah.
Yeah.
And or crisps. Yeah.
Sure, crisps,
and
crackers.
This guy was like, after he had a couple of bites, he said, like, look, we should be eating this while we're watching the final of the Super Bowl.
That's awesome.
And I was like, wow.
That's great.
That is a compliment, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, I like that a lot. Well, it's great were able to get that experience when you went over and really see how the cheeses from your country, and the things that you're so used to affect people who like them. And the Fancy Food Show, and especially the Cheesemonger Invitational, I mean, the people who sell cheese are hungry to try things that they've never had before. Shades of things that maybe they've had before, like maybe, you know, the people have had cheeses from Spain, and they're familiar with Majorero or Manchego or Idiazabal or any of that stuff. But yours is quite different, a different take on any of that, right? So,
And that people, they know a lot about cheese. They really expert.
Oh, yeah.
So when they say this is a good cheese, that means a lot. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
right.
It's not just a friend telling you that I really like
sure.
it or whatever. No, they know what they're eating and they know that it's good stuff. And that is great to hear. And when you're that far away, and you are trying to defend your products from your islands and everything, means a lot to you, you know? Like you feel like an ambassador. You
and
know?
You are. You definitely are.
Like, I don't know. Like, bringing good stuff to the other side of the world.
That's great. All right. We're going to take a short break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to you specifically about the cheeses from the Canary Islands so people can know what wonderful stuff you sell. Hold on one sec.
The Academy Opus Cassius is the cheese industry's unique center for professional development, offering both practical and classroom training for cheese professionals ready to move their careers to the next level. The Academy is the only professional cheese school integrating hands-on practice, formal instruction, and curriculum-related visits in every course, and attracts students from such diverse countries as Australia, Venezuela, Ukraine, Canada, Sweden, Kenya, and India. Cheesemongering, cheese making, and affinage courses form the core curriculum. The Academy also offers insider's tours in New York, London, and Paris, where cheesemongers can meet their international peers and be inspired by different approaches to cheese making and retailing. The London tour, this November 1st through 4th, includes visits to top mongers, including Neal's Yard Dairy and Paxton and Whitfield, great markets including Spitalfields and Borough Market, urban cheesemakers Gringa Dairy and Capisation, and a day in Somerset visiting traditional cheddar makers Montgomery's and Westcombe and the younger White Lake Dairy. Limited to 6 cheese professionals, this program is a unique opportunity to get behind the scenes and expand your network. Act now to secure your spot. For more information and to apply for this and other courses, visit our website at academymons.com. That's academie-mons.com.
Welcome back to Cutting the Curd. This is Greg Blaze. Before the break, we were talking with Rafael Chacon of Chacon y Hijo about his distribution company based in the Canary Islands. Now, for the second part of our show, I'd like to talk a little bit more about the cheeses of the Canary Islands and what sorts of cheeses are traditional to the islands. I know that you're off the coast of Morocco, and I have been lucky enough to travel there. I traveled there so many years ago, and a story I've told many, many, many times. I was not selling cheese then, but I was in college, and I was there to hang out. You know, we went a long ways, and you know, the food was very different for us there when we got there, because you know, we were like a bunch of white kids, you know, from Boston, and but we really loved eating the bread and the fresh goat cheese, and like smoked mackerel we ate. And we ate a bunch of other stuff, but I remember the cheeses from there being very fresh. And I was wondering if the cheeses of the Canary Islands, Rafael, are mostly very fresh, or even yogurt kind of based cheeses.
It is true that we have a lot of different fresh cheeses, actually.
Yeah.
In Tenerife, it's the most common one.
What's that one called?
It actually depends on the island. For example, let's say in Tenerife we have the fresh goat cheese.
Yeah.
Very characteristic, and we like to eat it that way. Like, for example, in La Palma, they have the La Palma cheese, which is the biggest cheese of Spain. It's around, it can reach 20 kilograms.
Okay.
And it's a big wheel that they smoke.
It's smoked?
Using, local wood.
Okay.
They smoke it with buns, so it's not like an idiazabal that is homogenic. You know what I mean?
I understand. Yeah.
It got lines and everything. Yeah. That one, you eat it fresh, but the idea is to be like semi hard. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, usually when we get it, it's like, let's say two weeks, 3 weeks old, and that's not enough. But you can order it like with 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and it's when you get the best out of it.
What does it make it best at, like 1 or 3 months? Why is it better then than it is when it's young?
It develops all the different tasting notes. Like,
so it gets more subtleties.
The personality it has, and actually, because it's a big cheese,
yeah,
it needs more time to get cured. You say
so? It's a massive smoked cheese. Is it made of? It's made of goat's milk, though, or cow?
It's goat cheese. Yeah, from La Palma.
So it's 20 kilo
goat cheese. It's
massive.
In the Canary Islands, there are three cheeses.
Yeah.
With protected by its origin.
Yeah.
And one is from La Palma, which is a Palmera goat. So yeah, it's a specific race of goat.
Palmetta.
That lives there. And yeah, and it's a fantastic cheese. Actually, they used to put it in a pan and turn in a few times, and add some mojo, which are sauces from the Canary Islands.
Yeah.
You have the cilantro one and the red one. And it's, let's say, the most popular dish in the Canary Islands. I don't know, basically.
No,
because
no,
everybody
gotcha.
From abroad has always tried that.
Yeah, that's the one they feed the tourists.
yeah.
But that's a lot of goat milk.
Exactly.
So,
for example,
yeah.
Like in El Hierro, it's totally different. It's a mixed cheese, and
that's
they
mixed?
Also smoke it, but it's because long time ago they used to smoke it to protect it. You know how it
yeah,
works.
Yeah, of course.
Let's say La Gomera, it's a little bit more. La Gomera is semi hard or hard, usually very hard, because they have the Almogrote. Almogrote is from there.
What's the name of that cheese again?
Gran Canaria, I don't know. That island, they have several different companies that they make really fantastic cheese.
Uh-huh.
They know, they are very good at it. And They have it with the red paprika, the pimenton, or the gofio, which is toasted cereals and grains. And in the majorero cheese is the most popular one, I would say, abroad.
Yeah, that's the one I know the best.
And that one is semi-hard or hard.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they're big wheels as well. They are big wheels as well. So
right.
if they don't have time, you will be eating something delicious, but not perfect.
Not in yeah, not
like,
the way.
When I say
yeah.
that, I mean with all the tasting notes that I can have.
So the Majorero
in Lanzarote, they have again they have amazing weather there, and they produce a very good milk, and now they're producing yogurt as well.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Every island, as you can see, is a little bit different from the other one. And the other day, with a friend from Gran Canaria, he came to my shop, and I was surprised that he didn't know any of the cheeses I was selling. And that's because the local production is that small sometimes. It's rare to find in a different island.
That makes sense. They just sell it near to where it's made. So I had a question. I want to back you up just a second. So you said on the second island, there's a mixed cheese, a cow and goat. And what was the name of that cheese again?
Sorry, can you repeat the question?
Sure. You went through another cheese before you got to the Gran Canaria, and you told me about those cheeses. There was a second cheese that you mentioned called La Palmetta. Was that what it was? It or was
no? Queso, yeah, Palmetto cheese.
Palmetta, yeah.
Palmetto.
Palmetto.
Yeah, it's.
And that's a mix palmetto, of cow
yeah,
and goat.
P-A-L-M. It's like palm.
Yeah.
Like a palm.
Yeah, I gotcha.
It's Palmetto. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the one with the buns, with the lines
yeah.
after being smoked.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's a big wheel, like around even 20 kilograms.
But what was the second cheese you mentioned? There was another one you mentioned right after that. That was a mixture.
The Herreño cheese.
Yes.
It's from the island El Hierro.
Yeah, nice.
that cheese, they are specializing now in they're trying to produce an ecological cheese.
Yeah.
Because the Canarias, we have a lot of tourism from
sure. I'm sure you do.
Germany. And there in Germany they are very into the ecological thing and everything. People who goes there for hiking or just to be relaxed and everything, they have the chance to try the typical Herreño cheese from the island of El Hierro, but on this occasion, just totally ecological. And that's something I am actually bringing that cheese to the World Cheese Awards in Spain this year.
That's
which
great.
Is celebrated in San Sebastian. Yeah, because I think it's, first of all, it's a really tasty cheese.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of ecological cheeses here in the Canary Islands, so I want to give it a try. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Well, that's great. I mean, so you had some great success when you came over to the Fancy Food Show. You met some people who liked your products. We have the one cheese from your collection, the Majorero, which is available. That's probably the one that people I know or that I'm the most familiar with because of its protected status. That's a cheese that I've been buying when I bought Spanish cheese that I bought quite a bit. That's fantastic. So for any of our listeners, when are we going to see your cheeses on the shelves in some American cheese shops here?
Well, I'm in touch with a few distributors there.
Great.
I understand that it takes time, or at least it's supposed to be like that, because the way to get things well done, I believe that you need time,
yeah.
you need to understand each other's interests and problems and everything. So at the end, the business will be good for everybody. You know what I mean?
I really
do.
So
we are going step by step. I'm already with a member of the FDA.
Yeah,
or something.
Fantastic.
I don't know if you call a member, but yeah, but I'm already there, and our providers, our producers, they will be part of our membership, so we can export the products to the States.
Yeah,
and I don't know, I'll be very happy if it'll happen next year, to be honest.
Awesome.
Next year I'm going again to the Fancy Flow show. I am expecting some visitors in our booth at the World Cheese Awards in San Sebastian. So yeah, I'm open to start with any of them. I know they like the cheeses, but they need to
Through the processes.
Everything. But I don't know. I'll be very happy if next year you can get it in a shop over there.
Awesome.
That would be like a dream.
Yeah,
at least for me that would be a dream. You know what? When I decided to learn English, it was like 5 years ago,
uh-huh.
And I was already 27, and I was like, where to go to learn English? So
sure.
I decided to go to Scotland.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, "You crazy? You're going to Scotland? You
no, we can see that, and we can hear
blah,
that
blah, blah.
In your accent a tiny bit. No, you're
like,
great.
You know what?
Well,
I want to go there because if I get to understand them,
yeah.
I'll be ready to understand anybody all around the world who speaks English. So here I am. I understood basically everything they were saying. I love their country. I love everything related to Scotland. And I started.
Yeah.
What people said is the most difficult place to start learning English. And I decided to go to the States after someone of the industry told me, last step, it's the United States of America. And I said, okay, then is where I'm going next.
Yeah.
You start, like, it's complicated with the FDA, with everything.
Yes.
But once you're selling in the United States, you are ready to sell any place in the world, and that's why I decided to go there. Also, I have very good friends in the States, and I felt like at home here. In Tenerife, the industry of the food, it's basically like people, like, let's say, around the 60s, you know what I mean? And
ooh,
in New York,
revolution.
Like people of my age, 30 years old, 25, that was fantastic, and they were very involved in the industry.
Yeah,
and
they totally are.
So, yeah, I actually think I did very well going to the States, don't you think?
Yeah. Well, for cheese, right now, you're in a great spot because there are a lot of people your age and just a lot of people of all ages that do what we do, and we all love it. I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come and talk to us on Cutting the Curd. We really, really enjoyed it. And I want you guys to take a look out for Rafael Chacon's cheeses maybe next year. And if not for the cheeses, keep a lookout for him because he's coming back to the Fancy Food Show and he's going to bring some cheese and you're going to have to eat it. So thanks so much. And we'll be back next week with more Cutting the Curd. Take care, Rafael.
Okay. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Ciao, ciao.
See you next year.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Latham.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.